In 2002, Maren Alsop became the first woman to become principal conductor of a major British orchestra. After her first season with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, she received the Conductor Award from the Royal Philharmonic Society. A review this year in the London Times described Alsop as a subtle, inspired builder of symphonic structures, the perfect guide and teacher. Alsop is American, and happily, she's still conducting American orchestras and remains the conductor of the Cabrillo Music Festival in Santa Cruz. Her first recording with the Bournemouth Symphony was recently released. It's devoted to music by Leonard Bernstein, who Alsop studied with at the Tanglewood Music Center. The CD includes his three dance episodes from On the Town, which he adapted from his score for the Broadway show On the Town, which he composed in his mid-20s. I asked Maren Alsop about studying and working with Leonard Bernstein, and to illustrate how exciting it was, she told me this story.
There's this gorgeous home that Koussevitzky lived in up on the hill at Tanglewood, and we work, before we get in front of the orchestra, we would always work with two pianos, and they would play the orchestral part, and that's where lessons would occur, you know, outside of the orchestra sessions. And so Bernstein came there and walked in the room, and of course there were, it seemed like just hundreds of people in this tiny room. And he said, you know, now, where's Maren? And I thought, I have died and gone to heaven. This just can't be happening. And as soon as I started conducting, it was the Roy Harris Third Symphony, which was a piece that they told me to learn 5 days earlier. Everything was very, very high pressure there. And as soon as he started talking to me about the piece and conducting and these kinds of things, I was completely relaxed. He was so generous and so focused on what I was doing that I almost forgot he was Leonard Bernstein. Almost.
You've said that Bernstein was unpredictable and that he could really embarrass you and that he was good at mind games. Can you give us a sense of that?
Sure. I would watch it all the time. But this was a person that was extremely, so intelligent. He was so brilliant on every single level. He loved going through the Oxford English Dictionary, finding errors. When he found a mistake in the dictionary, he was in a good mood for many days. Not only the realm of his intelligence, but just the grasp of his knowledge was so far-reaching that he could make jokes that and puns that escaped every single other person in the room. So you had to be, you know, it was a little bit like the Olympics. You had to be on top form. And, of course, I think he would get a little bit bored sometimes. And it's a little bit like toying with the mouse, you know. So he would try to spice it up a little bit. And embarrassment sometimes fell into that realm. But it was never so horrifying as to be really wounding. His nature was so loving that it was never his intention, I don't think, to hurt anyone.
Leonard Bernstein was very larger than life. And I think one of the things that makes you special as a conductor is that you're so accessible and communicative. Like when I've seen you at the podium several times at the Cabrillo Music Festival in Santa Cruz. And you just kind of come out and you talk to us in the audience. You tell us about the music you're going to play. You make jokes about it. You dress, at least for that festival, very casually. And you establish this very, very kind of direct communication with the audience that is not only entertaining, but speaking for myself, it makes me hear things in the music. It allows me to hear things in the music I probably wouldn't have noticed because you've pointed it out to me before actually conducting the piece. So I'm wondering how you figured out what kind of personality to be at the podium, particularly having admired this larger-than-life figure so much.
See, I believe really deeply that having authority has nothing to do with the trappings of authority. My belief is that people know sincerity, they know knowledge, they know intelligence, and they know passion. And those are qualities that must be unwavering as a conductor. And perhaps at first they think, well, oh, how, why is this person talking to us? You know, our other conductors don't talk. Or why is this person wearing something a little bit, you know, colorful? We're not allowed to have anything colorful. Or whatever it is that seems contrary to the archetypal image of what a conductor should be. And oddly, people seem to have an archetypal image. And I think by dispensing with some of those trappings, one can cut to the essence much more quickly.
Well, let's hear some music. I'd like to play an excerpt of Leonard Bernstein's score for On the Waterfront, which you conduct on your recent CD of Bernstein Music. But I'd like you to kind of choose a passage from this that you find particularly interesting as the conductor, and to just talk a little bit about what's going on to make that passage so interesting.
Sure. Well, this passage from On the Waterfront is this fantastic fugue section, but unlike most fugues, this begins with a timpani playing the tune, and then he has another timpani come in, so a second set of timpani, and then he has the tom-toms come in playing the tune. I mean, not many composers would have the chutzpah to have a fugue that starts melodically with the percussion. This is a fantastic unfolding, and for me, what the music is all about disquiet and unrest, and something's not quite right, and you know what this idea of suspense and what's about to happen.
Oh, that's a great description. Why don't we hear the passage that you were just describing? And this is from Maren Alsop's recording of Bernstein Music, and this is the score from On the Waterfront. Do you feel that being a woman conductor has become less of an issue as time has gone by?
You know, the only perspective I have, of course, is this very subjective personal experience. And I have really tried my entire career from, being 18, 19 years old, never to interpret a rejection as gender-based rejection, because if I were to have done that, it would have given me an excuse for everything. And I didn't want a very pat kind of simple excuse. So I have really consciously tried not to take in those thoughts that, oh, perhaps this is because I'm a woman, or maybe they're talking to me this way and they wouldn't speak to a man that way. I mean, now that I'm at a certain stage in my career, I can sometimes see these obvious things that happen that wouldn't happen if I were a man. I mean, just the other day, it's a very small thing, but I asked who would be playing oboe in the orchestra I was guest conducting, because the person listed on my musician roster did not attend the first rehearsal. And the personnel manager, I said, well, I'd just like to know who's going to play, because I'd like them to be at the rehearsals. And then the next day, the oboist came to me and said that the personnel manager went to him and said, I was really upset. I was in a tizzy, quote unquote. Now, you know, you and I know that if a man had inquired as to why the person listed was not attending the rehearsal, he would not be described as in a tizzy. You know what I'm saying, Terry?
So I know exactly
these
what you're
are
saying.
Strange things that, you know, and I just sort of laughed to myself that it's so obvious and so typical that it's just kind of funny. But the issue, the woman issue, I mean, it comes up obviously a lot in when I do interviews and talk to people. And I try, as someone who is now successful in this field, to really devote time to young women who are coming into the field to talk about these issues, because I think there are issues about being a woman in a field that doesn't have many women in it, still to this day, that one needs to look at if you are a young woman and thinking about going into the field.
What are some of those issues?
Well, I think they all center around perceptions and societies. I mean, I'm as guilty as the next person. That's what the strange thing is. We're just conditioned. So society's conditioning about women's roles versus men's roles. So that, for example, if you're a woman and you make a certain gesture, it's interpreted very, very differently from a man making the same gesture. And of course, conducting is all about gesture. So, you know, one of the difficult things for me in starting out in the field was to be extremely strong without appearing to be sort of overly aggressive as a woman. You know, to try to be strong and have it be only about strength, you know, to get a big sound from the brass, to get a huge dynamic range without appearing to be possessed as a woman. You know what I mean? As soon as you start trying to be that huge person, I mean, people are frightened by a woman that does that. They call her names, you know, that aren't very nice. When a man comes and expresses the same kind of gestures, he's considered very strong. So it's important as a young conductor, even further on in one's career, to really assess the gesture and try to, in some way, de-genderize it, so that gesture is about emotion and it communicates emotion rather than an association to your gender.
Do you ever wonder what would happen if you, like, walked away and had the orchestra play on its own? Like, you know, how it would sound without you there?
Yes, I mean, most of the orchestras I conduct would probably be perfectly fine. I mean, the level of playing of the orchestras I conduct is so tremendously high. I mean, it's just world class. And what's interesting is as you get more and more experience in front of the orchestra, the great moments in the concerts, I think, are the moments when I don't conduct very much, but I'm more sharing the experience with them than literally, you know, going wild on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes more of a shared listening, and it's more about nuance than so much gesture. And often in concerts, at particular moments that seem right for the music, I won't conduct very much at all.
Maren Alsop, her latest CD, which is devoted to music by Leonard Bernstein, is her first recording since she became principal conductor of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra. She continues to conduct, guest conduct American orchestras and to conduct the Cabrillo Music Festival in Santa Cruz.